How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Of course, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, the list goes on and on, the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And by the way, if you've got that Sirius Satellite Radio app, we are available on the Sports Zone channel. And we've got a lot of news to get into here today. For those of you that remember the head-to-head Monday Night War battle in pro wrestling in the 1990s, well, we had a head-to-head mixed martial arts war last night as UFC ran from Arena Ciudad in Mexico with a pay-per-view. And running head-to-head on Spike TV for free was a Bellator, I don't want to call it a pro wrestling event, but I can tell you that my friends who are watching all called it a pro wrestling event. This ran head-to-head on Spike TV, and we're going to talk about the main event, Tito Ortiz and Stefan Bonner. We don't have a lot of details about how both shows did yet. It'll be a while before we get the buy rate, obviously, for the UFC show. Undoubtedly, the Spike show drew significantly more viewers, being as it was a free show on Spike TV, headlined by Tito Ortiz. But we're going to talk about all of the shows head-to-head, and although I did not see the show, there was also a third mixed martial arts event running head-to-head. The World Series of Fighting show aired last night as well, so three MMA events running head-to-head on a Saturday night. And more interesting even than the head-to-head battle is the absolute complete difference in the way that UFC and Bellator are promoting going into 2015. UFC's deal is we are going to air 9 million shows all over the world, and Bellator's idea is to run things exactly like UFC did in 2006 when UFC was extremely hot. Which one will pay off? We're going to talk about that plus pro wrestling and so much more today, and we'll be back after the top of the hour break. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And we are here talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. After the next break, we are going to be going to the phones. If you want to give us a call, the number 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478 will be the phone number. You can always get the numbers up on the website, which is WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, last night we had the head-to-head battle, and one of the main talking points is what they did with Stefan Bonner and Tito Ortiz. They did a lot of different segments on Spike TV leading up to the fight. Some people thought it was great. Some people thought it sucked. I know that when I was watching the Bellator show last night, I had a bunch of friends over, and they kept saying to me, "Oh, it's WWF now." They did not like some of the aspects of that Bellator show last night. Stefan Bonner came off as a complete clown. And what were your impressions of the Bellator show last evening, and where do you fall in this debate?
Well, I'll ask you this. How many of those people that were overwatching remember the days of Pride and K1?
Not any of them, actually.
Yeah, that would probably be one of the reasons why.
You want to know why? Because all of those people that remember those days aren't watching mixed martial arts these days. There's too many shows.
That's true. It could probably be said. And yeah, I mean, those old Pride and K1 fans, if they did stick around and they were from the States, they've been assimilated into UFC fans, and maybe they don't like ring entrances either. It was Stefan Bonner and Tito Ortiz in 2014. You were going to need all of the sleight of hand, all of the pro wrestling, all of the, you know, ridiculous things that they did to build it up. When you have a fight like that, you need all of those smoke and mirrors to try to build it up. And I can understand people not being happy with that. It's just going to be able, they have to make sure, and Scott Coker's got to make sure that the show is not bigger than, well, the show, and that the guys that are going out there and, you know, having the freak show sort of thing. And every once in a while, that's fine because you need to try to bring eyeballs. That's obviously what the King Mo and Rampage match, you know, this was not a, you know, when they had that fight, it wasn't about any, you know, title ramifications or anything historic in the sport or anything like that. It was to try to get a fight that would get eyeballs onto their show, which worked. It did. And they had the, obviously, the Justin McCauley pro wrestling bit between Bonner and Ortiz on that show, which led into this one. And the main event was going to stink, and it most certainly did. And it was what it was. Ortiz wins a split decision, and the fight was not very well received. But the hope is that, you know, enough people will want to at least watch this show and be involved in some of the other people that are up and down the Bellator roster. And I think they've done a pretty good job with that, you know, with King Mo and, you know, Will Brooks and you know, Will Brooks and Michael Chandler. If they tried to sell that fight on its own, it was not going to be a fight that got any attention, as UFC was planning on running a heavyweight title fight taking place from Mexico. So they had to go the Ortiz and Bonner route. It's just they can't continue to do things like that or have all show and just no go.
Well, obviously there was a little bit of go on the show, but I just think that there is a line that you've got to draw between promoting in an interesting manner that's going to draw viewers and making it become like a clown show.
Yeah, a sideshow.
And even if it is, I mean, listen, it could have been a sideshow and still done good ratings. It doesn't mean that it wasn't a turnoff to people trying out Bellator again. You know, I had a lot of people over last night to watch this show, and when they went home, you know, they were kind of sort of chuckling about the Bellator show. And I mean, our eyeballs were on the thing. But what happens next time when I say, hey, there's a Bellator show? Are these same people going to want to come over? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. I was certainly interested in seeing Tito and Bonner fight. It was very wacky, the build, but it was still interesting. And when two guys have an interesting build, I end up wanting to see them fight. So I enjoyed it. It was a little over the top for me, but still it didn't turn me off to watching the show. But I don't know what that means for your average fan. And the average fans I had over, they enjoyed UFC more because they really weren't into the wacky ring entrances. They didn't like the they liked the nurses coming out, but they thought it was campy. What's his face? Joe Warren was doing his promo from the announcer's booth. I mean, they didn't buy that at all. They thought that was total pro wrestling shtick. Didn't buy it, didn't like it. And then Stephen Bonner was just like a complete numbskull. They thought he was an idiot. And again, they watched the show, but I think the line may have been crossed in some ways to where they may not want to come and watch the show next time.
Well, I think it really depends on what they do next time, because, you know, they obviously those people that they're not going to go home saying Aaron Pico was signed by Bellator. And that's something that they probably, you know, they are going to have to drive that home. And it's really, I'm giving them a little bit of a pass on this, the same way with the McCauley Ortiz thing at the last show, where they had Bonner, you know, bring out this, you know, faceless individual and he takes the hood off. And we're all supposed to know that Justin McCauley once trained with Tito Ortiz and care about that sort of thing. I'm giving him a pass on this one too. You know, Scott Coker was a longtime, you know, promoter for K1 and for Strikeforce, and he wants to differentiate himself from the UFC. And one of the complaints about the UFC is ring entrances and the very vanilla, for the most part, ring entrances outside of the very top guys like John Jones in Baltimore was able to do one. And Tom Lawler obviously has been able to have some cool stuff on there. Genki Sudo in days past. But, you know, that's something that the UFC, I wish they would have a little bit more flash and pizzazz and better music and some lights and some more aesthetic things. And I'm glad Bellator is going to be doing that. But obviously they went too over the top with it last night, and it's, can they learn from that and dial it back a little bit? Can they, when it's time to sell sport and not spectacle, are they going to be able to do that? So I'm giving them I would definitely give them one more after this to see how it goes. And if it stays up that way, they are going to alienate a lot of people.
I think that it's very important to differentiate Bellator from UFC. I liked the big Titantron-style screen. I liked that everybody got a ring entrance. I liked all of that stuff. I even liked the fact that they did a big personality-type build for the main event. But you got to be careful. to keep it from being a clown show. And at the same time, I mean, I can be critical. I liked UFC a lot as well, but they're falling into the trap. I have a friend, and this guy, I mean, this guy always knows when the next UFC is. Always. No matter how many shows there are, he always knows what's coming up. He knows the main events. He's very dialed in. And yesterday afternoon, I was like, are you coming over for UFC tonight? And for the first time ever, he goes, there's UFC tonight? I said, yeah, Mexico. It's Verdum and Hunt. And he goes, what? He had absolutely no idea that it was yet another UFC here tonight. And he ended up coming over, but he'd have missed this one.
That's really bad because that, you know, yes, it's Verdum and Hunt, but it was supposed to be Verdum and Cain Velasquez for the heavyweight championship of the world.
That's right.
And he didn't remember it.
Well, you know, when that fell off, I mean, they didn't promote it like that. But the point is, it's a different business model, and I'm very critical of I'm kind of critical, but there's also that part of me that thinks, all right, fine. UFC... they've got a business strategy, and while there is a very obvious, I don't care what Dana or anybody says, there is a big decrease in popularity in UFC in this country, and it's been going on for a while. And although that is the case, they are making a ridiculous amount of money all over the world for their programming. And there's also that part of me that just thinks, at the end of the day, this is a business. And if they can make all this money... and that's their business strategy. And they don't really care about the overall popularity of the sport. In other words, if they'd rather they make money than be more popular, as opposed to make money but be less popular, make less money but be more popular, I think they're fine making more money. And if that's their business plan, then great. It's not going to be what we think is best for popularity, but maybe they're not all about popularity. Maybe they're all about, listen, we've got a lot of... we got a lot of corporate debt here we got to pay off. We need to make some TV deals. So there are different ways to look at it. We'll talk about this more after the break and take your phone calls. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We have Mike Sempervivi here on the line, and these phones have been driving me crazy. Somebody has been calling for about 25 minutes so far, even though we weren't taking phone calls. But since that polite fella, just told everybody to call, I'm going to answer the phones now. Let's see who this is who's been calling. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Man, Jim, you've been dying to get on the show today, haven't you?
Oh, man, I got some huge, huge, huge major women's wrestling news.
I hear that. Well, I'll let you tell everybody.
Over the weekend, a really great indie wrestler, Mia Yim, She struck big-time gold in Beijing, China, as she defeated Ivelisse Velez for the Shine Championship.
Man, struck gold.
Yep, she did, because Ed from San Antonio, he called in a while back. He was talking about he didn't like, you know, said about they put, see, her, she was a tag team partner with Leva Base, and they were called the Lucha Sisters, and they put these older lady wrestlers with the belts. Now I see why. To me, that makes a lot of sense. Now, if you were going to eventually put the Shine title on her, you wouldn't want her to have both belts, would you?
Well, I depends on what your storyline is. It's possible
That's
to
true.
Do something like that.
But yeah, and she is, and she does the her finisher. She caught her with a package pile driver. Not many women do that.
No. You know what's funny, Jim, is before this show went on the air, a mutual friend of Mike and I texted us, and they wanted us to make sure that we asked you your thoughts on Mia Yim winning the title, and my thought was, come on, the moment Jim calls, that's the first thing he's going to talk about. And it is!
Now, that show is actually, it's on I think it's LETV. .com. The show from today is actually up on that site, Chinese website, and it also, in addition to Mia Yim and Ivelisse, is Allison Kay defeating Sue Young. And my question is, why does Allison Kay come out to Gangster's Paradise by Coolio in 2014?
What's wrong with that? I came out to California Love in 2014.
Yeah, we got to talk about that too one day.
Well, let me ask you, I got another question. Well, this is not on women's wrestling. Big rumor going around now, and I've heard this from a pretty reliable source. TNA has signed with WGN America.
WGN?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think they'd get that lucky. Where did you, I know you can't reveal your sources, Jim, but are you sure you're not thinking of Destination America?
What is that? I don't know.
Well, that doesn't bode well for them now, does it? The latest I heard, Jim, was that they most likely signed a deal with Destination America, which is a division of the Discovery Channel, and it's in about 50%, well, the tier is available in 50% of the homes. The number of people that actually get Destination America is lower than that, and an announcement may be coming over the next couple of days about Destination America. I don't know what kind of cable package you've got, Jim, but this may be the last you see of these knockouts.
Oh, I got the preferred Comcast.
You're set actually then, because they're on most of the Comcast and most Comcast services.
Well, you may be good to go, Jim.
Oh, that's right. Oh, speaking of the cable wrestling, have you all have had a chance to see Lucha Underground?
Oh yeah, we talk about it every week, Jim. Where you been?
I didn't know I had it. I didn't know I had it on my cable package. It's on the El Rey network.
That's right. It's on El Rey, and you can also watch it on Unimas if you want to watch the Espanol version.
I like that version.
Oh, man.
Pretty good version.
It would be awesome.
Sexy Star is on there. There's some women wrestling on there.
I saw a promo with her.
Yeah.
I used to watch her on CMLL.
That's right.
See, and your kind of matches, too, the intergender matches, they have plenty of those.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Jim, I was alerted that Raw is also coming to Virginia. Are you going to be going?
I'm going to be in Roanoke, Virginia tomorrow night.
Are you going?
No.
Man. Why not?
Virginia is about 50 miles to the north of me.
You're not driving 50 miles to a team.
Wait. Hold on. Roanoke, Virginia is 50 miles to the north of you?
Uh-huh.
You are down there deep. I went to Roanoke for the first time this year. It was absolutely gorgeous. Stayed at this beautiful hotel. It was an absolutely fantastic time, but it is deep down there.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm in a little town called Martinsville. Well, you know where they got the racetrack, Martinsville Speedway? You ever heard of it?
I have indeed. Now, is that the only thing in Martinsville? Is it like that in a Super 8, like for race day? Because it doesn't.
No,
what else goes on in Martinsville?
More stuff down there than. Lou Whitaker, the baseball player, is from. He used to play for the Tigers. Is from Martinsville.
Yeah, the Whitaker and Trammell, the Brian's favorite second baseman shortstop combination of the '80s.
Exactly, he really was that guy.
Well, what's the next step for the Divas now? Is it still going to be more Nikki and Brie?
Well, I know that Nikki and AJ are wrestling in Survivor Series, and there's a rumor, Jim, that if AJ loses at Survivor Series, you may not be seeing her around much longer in WWE.
Ooh, now run that by me one more time. which one is it?
If AJ Lee loses the championship, she may not be around WWE much longer.
Is that storyline or not a storyline?
No, that's apparently a rumored
behind the stage thing. Not
potential,
a
real life potential departure.
Wow, I'd hate to see that because you know AJ's not the greatest worker, but she can work and she's also
married to a man who's. I don't want to call him unemployed, but he's at home a lot, and she is on the road all the time. Coincidentally, as champion, she's forced to work every house show.
Oh, yeah.
And so...
And from what I know, what I've heard, that CM Punk is not hurting for money.
I sure hope not, because he's got a long life ahead of him.
Oh, yeah, because you think he'll ever be back in wrestling?
No. Well, he may be back in wrestling, but he ain't coming back to WWE.
Oh, boy.
I think if you're going to put money on it, he would pop up in a New Japan or something like that. I don't think it would be WWE anytime soon or later.
Well, Jim, we got to head to the next call, but I want to thank you very much for calling, my man. Jim had a lot on his mind.
Gave him more to think about there, too.
You know, the biggest argument that Todd Martin and I ever had was whether or not CM Punk was ever going to come back to WWE. And I don't know when we will know. Maybe the two of us will be on our rocking chairs someday, and one of us will finally admit defeat to the other. But I stand by my claim vehemently that you will never see Phil Brooks in a WWE ring again for a large number of reasons. But I don't think it's going to happen, everybody. But stranger things have happened in this business. Like Bret Hart coming back, actually. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
How do you take Jim's call before mine? Are you using your caller ID or something?
I just hit that button and whoever's next in line comes up.
Yeah, you just ruined an opportunity for a close personal friend of Mia Yim to break the news that she's a new China champion.
But are you breaking the news to her now that you're her close personal friend?
Yeah, exactly. How close and personal are you to this woman? Does this mean you've met her once?
I've met her a couple times. A few times, actually.
So you're a much closer, more personal friend of me than of Mia Yim.
I consider Mia Yim a better friend than you.
I didn't say better. I said closer.
Closer friend, yeah.
I guarantee she's probably a better friend.
Yeah. But if anyone wants to see the match, they can watch it. The whole show is actually online. I tweeted it earlier. I'll tweet it to you later. Maybe you and Vinny can actually review the match tonight. But I also want to talk about...
Well, I hope you tweeted like a legal link, Ed.
Yeah, it's been... I've seen it on different news articles, so it has to be... I'm thinking it has to be legal.
Well, you make sure you don't tweet us anything that's illegal, Ed. I'll be very, very upset.
Okay, but other than since Jim did steal my thunder, I want to talk about the PWI Female Top 50. Have you seen this list, Brian?
What? There's a PWI Female Top 50? No, I have not seen this list.
Okay, well, it's not too bad.
Who's number one? Let's cut to the chase.
Number one is Paige, and number two is AJ, and number three is Gail Kim. Basically,
what are the qualifications?
I have no idea because I'm gonna get to one of the
because it's Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
It's very important. Is Nova on the list? Is the important question.
No, Nova's not on the list.
But they do
have Mia Yim at number 20, which now that she's a champ, I think it needs to be revised and she needs to be number one.
They better put out a special issue.
Yeah. And then they have at 31, they have my other good friend, Old Blue Pants Level Bates at 31, and clearly she should be top five.
Sempe, who were you asking about if they were on the list?
Renee Michelle.
I don't even know who that is.
Renee Michelle.
It works in the East a lot, Maryland champion, and up and down the East Coast there. I was wondering if she was on there. Is Tessa Blanchard on there?
No, she's not on there, but I'm sure she'll be on next one because I saw her at the WSU pay-per-view, and she's actually very good for her experience, and she's very good-looking, too. But the biggest travesty adjustment...
Is that one of the requirements to be good-looking?
I kind of think so, looking at a lot of these names. Except for Mickey Knuckles.
All right, I can't believe I'm doing this. Ed, I can't believe I'm doing this, but stay on the line through the break. We got to talk more about this when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody, on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on the show, everybody. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, is here as well. For the latest news and info in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. We have daily news updates, as well as radio shows every single day. If you love Wrestling Observer Live and you only hear this show once a week, you are missing out. Two shows a day I do on average. Got another one coming up tonight with Vinny. We'll be talking about SmackDown, Ring of Honor, NXT, and Lucha Underground. Had a show last night with Dave Meltzer talking all the news in wrestling and mixed martial arts. And not only as a subscriber do you get all of these brand new shows, but every show we've ever done dating back to 2005 is available in our archives. The WWE Network has 2,500 hours of archived content. We have over 6,000, thousands and thousands of hours of audio, not to mention the Wrestling Observer Newsletter every week, Figure Four Weekly every week. The Observer Newsletter, by the way, 35,000 words a week. It's like almost half a book every single week, not to mention the archives. It is a steal. If you love this show, I promise you, you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. We got a lot of cool stuff up on the front page if you're not a subscriber, including we have a free stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, playing the latest free shows. If you go up there right now, you can listen to the Brian and Vinny show from November 11th And the stream is available all of the time, either through WrestlingObserver.com, or you can check us out on TuneIn Radio, searching Wrestling Observer Radio, Figure 4, any of these things, F4W Live. You can like the page, and every week, brand new shows for free up there on the stream. So head up to WrestlingObserver.com and check it out. Sign up today. You will not regret it. And by the way, if you're listening to this show on Monday, we are live every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. And of course, if you are listening live on Sunday, tomorrow, Monday, we will have a replay starting at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. So make sure you head up there and check that out. Back to the phones. Ed is on the air. Ed, what's up?
Okay. Well, I'm sure you're going to be disappointed, but Rosa Mendes did not make this list. But you'll never guess who made number 17 and actually moved up a whopping 20 spots to make 17.
Wait a second. How did someone move up 20? Oh, I see. Move up 20 spots. I was confused. I thought they were minus three. Who was it, Ed?
Cameron.
Really? Cameron, number 17?
Wait. Okay, and fine. Where is Taryn Terrell then? She better be top 10 if Cameron's moved up to 17.
Actually, no. Taryn Terrell has gone down 19 spots to be number 36.
Taryn Terrell fell 19 spots since 2013. I almost spouted a profanity here on the air.
Naomi has fallen 15 spots and is down to 39. So somehow Cameron is more than 20 spots better than Naomi.
It's not even your fault, Ed, but I'm finding another reason to disconnect you this week because this list is so preposterous. And also, I do want to thank you for the call, but we got other people on the line. How is this even possible that Taryn could fall, having a much better year this year than last year?
The fact of the matter is, anybody that's even in Gail Kim's presence, which any woman that wrestled in TNA would deserve better. So I take this as a referendum against Gail Kim, and I am offended by the editors of Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
Shocking news. All right, back to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Ryan, what's up?
Yes, I went to an indie show last weekend, and this question is inspired from what I saw at the indie show.
All right. Ryan, by the way, has gone to do some drinking at a haunted pub. Is that correct?
Yeah, actually, I was there last night, and I asked someone if they'd seen the ghost, and they said they hadn't had enough to drink yet to see a ghost.
Well, awesome. There you go. Mike knows places like that. All right, go ahead. What's your question?
Okay. What I saw at the show was I saw a 9-year-old kid training to be a pro wrestler, and he was doing fairly complex moves for a kid his age, like Frankensteiner's off the second rope, dives through the ropes, and a standing shooting star press. My question is, do the wrestlers in WWE have their kids train this hard when they're like 9 years old?
Well, I don't know the answer to that because I don't know who has a ring.
I've seen the Briscoe kids mess around in a ring, and I'm as scared of them as I am their parents or their grandfather.
Sure. Buddy Wayne, his kid trains in the ring, although his kid's almost as tall as I am already. He's 8. Listen, I have kids that train jujitsu, and I got 8 and 9-year-old kids that are just, they're so great. But the thing that worries me about pro wrestling is when you're young, it's much harder to hold your head up. I think everybody who has children is aware that you got a little kid, they can have some really, really big heads as compared to their bodies, and their bodies kind of sort of grow into their head and that sort of thing, and their necks really aren't very strong, and it's a lot harder to keep your head from bouncing off the canvas when you're young than when you get a little bit older and a little bit stronger. So I worry about kids that young doing pro wrestling, but I mean, I guess if you're doing it in a safe, supervised manner and there are mats there and...
And I guess it depends on your kids, too, because, sure, you know, there's a lot of trust and there's a lot of just quick thing, a lot of things that happen in wrestling. But, Brian, you've done gymnastics where if this quote-unquote pro wrestling is kind of a... Again, it's a choreographed kind of gymnastic type of routine. That's different than, you know, the thought of a 9-year-old professional wrestling sort of thing. And if these kids are involved in, you know, karate or jujitsu or wrestling or other, you know, physical sports too, you know, it again, it's a little bit easier, but I think if it's a more of a gymnastic thing, okay, I can't. It's hard just to wrap my brain around anybody that would really be training for professional wrestling at nine, you know, without it being truly 10 years away.
I started coaching when I was 15 years old, and I'm 39 now, so I've been coaching for a long, long time. And at the end of the day, to me, you just got to take care of the kids' heads. You know, kids can do all sorts of different sports, and they can be extraordinary at these sports. Little gymnasts and little kids doing jujitsu and your soccer and everything like that. And I think it's great, but you got to be careful with their heads. I don't like seeing kids when they're doing, like, you know, sometimes they're like kids mixed martial arts classes, and kids have got this headgear on. And yeah, the headgear stops the fist from hitting your head, but it's not necessarily stopping your brain from rattling around in your little skull. And some of this peewee football and such, where they're banging into each other with their heads, even if they've got that helmet on, you're still rattling your brain. I just don't like kids' brains rattling. But as far as athleticism, you know, have them be little athletes. That's great.
That kind of stopped me with Avery with football, and, you know, seeing the PBS special was one thing, but it was actually more so just a, you know, I had a brain cyst that ruptured near my pituitary gland, and no one knows how it got there. No one knows, you know, really. And I got lucky in the fact that it was able to just kind of soak back up into the brain matter. And I've been, you know, I've had to go to a neurologist for it and things like that, and go to Johns Hopkins and things like that. But, you know, I wrestled when I was little. I played a lot, and I mean a lot of football when I was a little kid. I did a little bit of boxing when I was a little kid. Does any of that stuff play any, have anything to do with the cyst? Probably not. Who knows? But the thing is, they can't rule it out. They don't know how it got there. They don't know anything. And there was a time where, you know, with concussions too, and again, you know, you just, I have had one concussion that I got, you know, was sick from. That's the only one that I know of. But, you know, you ask me how many times I got my bell rung, tons. I got it rung tons of times. Well, you know, that used to not be a big deal. Now it's, you know, those are like mini concussions that are going off. So you have to be really, really careful with that sort of thing. Really careful.
All right. Anything else?
My question for Mike was, what's the most difficult move you've seen the Briscoe kids pull off in the ring?
No, they were just playing around in there, but it's still, they're just, if you see that whole brood, they are a intimidating bunch.
But I mean, did you see him do anything? Because I know, like, I've seen like Buddy's kid does 619s and some actually pretty impressive little physical deals. He can't really run the ropes very well, and his lockup sucks.
I
but
bet
he
you
can do
he
a 619.
Run the ropes better than some of the girls.
Probably, yeah.
In WWE. But no, I saw no triple moonsaults or anything like that.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. And by the way, I think I mentioned this before in a show, but when I went up to visit Lance Storm this past summer, I worked out in his ring, and my wife was there. And I don't know how we got on the subject, but we were talking about how, you know, there were so many women in wrestling that can't run the ropes, and Lance starts ranting, and he goes, "I bet I could teach Whitney to run the ropes in 30 seconds. And I was like, okay. He goes, "I've got a secret trick." And I thought, this I got to see. So I'm not going to reveal the secret trick, but within 30 seconds, she was running the ropes better than probably half of the women in wrestling. In 30 seconds, because of a secret trick. So for those of you that wanted to get into wrestling, and you're females, or males for that matter, I shouldn't even just be singling out the females. There's a lot of people that can't run the ropes. Lance's school will teach you how to run the ropes, regardless of your age or sex. He will teach you how to run the ropes.
In shape when you go, though, for God's sakes. Be in shape, because those ropes hurt.
Well, not just that, but he's also in Calgary, so you're at a very high elevation. So if you're not in great shape and you go train at Lance's school, you're going to die. 855-478-4478. We actually don't have a lot of time left in this segment, but we'll jump full bore into the phone calls after the top of the hour. But that's the number, 855-478-4478. And as Mike was noting during the commercial break, Survivor Series is next Sunday. We have a whopping, is it three matches or do we have four matches now? It may only be three.
I just read about this in the Death of WCW remix.
Oh, no, yeah.
It's not the proper name of the book, but still, here we are. Again, this is one of the things that WWE over the past couple of years has stolen from TNA, who has stolen it from every failed wrestling promotion in the world. Have no matches leading into your pay-per-view.
Well, at the end of the day, I mean, it is true. It would be great to have matches, but at the end of the day, it really is all about the main event or the top couple of matches. And I don't know if this one, however, I mean, to be fair, for your one of your number four, your top five pay-per-views of the year, is this really strong enough to carry the entire show with no other card? Probably not, but we can talk about that. I would also like to mention, by the way, my Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. Mike is up at Semper Vivi. And somebody has made a wager with me. Chris Harrington, Mookie Ghana, says, I am not convinced that CM Punk will never be back in WWE. Give it 10 years, I'll put money on it, he says. So my challenge to Mookie is, how much money do you want to put on it? I will wager $100 that you will not see CM Punk back in WWE within 10 years.
So, I was on Mook's show, WrestleNomics, this past Saturday, and I will say this about that bet. I will back your $100 that you will put against Mookie's.
Really?
So yes, I will, because I believe the same thing.
Yeah, I think what people don't understand about this is if you are going into this, like, if CM Punk wanted to come back tomorrow, he'd be back. Then I would agree with you that within 10 years, he's probably going to want to go back. But the key to me is, if CM Punk decided tomorrow that he wanted to go back, I don't think they'd have him back. That is the key to this story. He is, first off, he is very, very stubborn. And he made the comment that he will consider himself a failure in life if he ever goes back. That's pretty powerful. Now, that to me is not enough. But when you look at the other side of the equation and who he disrespected on the way out, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, this dude ain't going to be back in 10 years, and I'll put $100 on it. So if Mookie's willing, we'll talk about this after the break. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, and Mike Sempervivi here as well. I'm looking at a photograph here of the New Day, I guess. It appears to be Kofi Kingston. He appears to be... I can't tell what he's doing because it's a still photo, but it looks for all the world like he's rapping. And Xavier Woods is pointing at him.
He's preaching the word.
And Big E Langston is looking at him with his hands on his fists in a skeptical manner. His hands on his hips. So I guess we'll find out soon. I'm hoping that tomorrow we will see Big E performing in front of a choir on Raw.
I believe that we will. And in fact, if they are standing there looking unamused at Kofi, it's because out of those three men, who's the one with the heavy rap? It's probably, well, it's definitely Xavier Woods, but then it's Big E, then it's Kofi. So maybe that's what it's going to be all about. I have no idea. And will R-Truth be involved in this at all? Because how this whole thing is seemingly set up, he would be perfect for this.
I guess we'll find out.
A horseman of prosperity preaching.
No. I guess we'll find out. By the way, I still am waiting for a response from Mookie if he is willing to put a $100 wager.
Don't be scared, Mook.
On whether CM Punk will be back in within 10 years. So what is that? 2024? That's a long time. It's a pretty decent bet. We could put it in a pot and then somebody could keep an eye on it for the next 10 years. And then we determine who was the winner in November 16, 2024 would be the cutoff date. Maybe we'll have an update after the top of the hour, everybody. But we got a lot of wrestling and mixed martial arts news to talk about. So be ready to check back then, including lots of notes on Survivor Series and more. Plus your phone calls at 855-478-4478. Check out WrestlingObserver.com back in a moment. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone. We're also available on the American Forces Network, the cable radio network, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts combined radio show in the world. We got a lot of stuff to get into over the next hour or so. We spent the first hour talking lot of mixed martial arts, Bellator and UFC. Obviously, our usual weekly callers talking about women's wrestling. We'll take more phone calls here in hour two as well. The phone number, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada. You can contact me via email, brian@wrestlingobserver.com. I'm on Twitter at Brian Alvarez. Semper Vivi is up at Semper Vivi. I will be monitoring the Twitter machine over the next hour here. And we have been waiting to see if a buddy of ours is going to accept a $100 wager over the next 10 years about whether CM Punk will ever return. And another man who is unlikely to return, unfortunately, Mike, is the great Khali, who appears to no longer be with WWE. And given his age and his physical health, probably won't be seeing a lot of the great Khali again, except maybe on special occasions.
What we should ask the listeners what their memories of the always mobile Khali were, their greatest memories. Could it be the Punjabi death match?
My favorite memory is when he wanted some competition.
When he would stand there just being big and blocking the door. I always liked when he would be used in that role.
I loved when they would make him suit up to not be on television, as they did on a weekly basis, it seemed. We got to head to break, everybody. When we come back, Survivor Series 2014. We're going to talk about that, all of the matches on the show, some predictions, and more. Should be a fun time. Plus your phone calls at 855-478-4478. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Joined by Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. Pro Wrestling, Mixed Martial Arts, every Sunday afternoon at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Replaying Mondays, by the way, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern. So if you're listening on one of the other days, guess what? Another option available for you. We'll talk more about that later. But first off, to the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Travis from Southern Illinois.
Travis, what's up?
Hey, Brian, I was just wondering when you think we might see Sting finally make his debut in WWE, and will it be possibly a Bray Wyatt or Randy Orton instead of The Undertaker?
Well, that is a good question. The Undertaker has been poking around a little bit here and there. He was down visiting NXT. This is usually the time of the year where he decides whether he's going to wrestle or not. Obviously, Sting wants a match with The Undertaker. I don't know when you're going to see the guy. They seem to be in no hurry. But my guess is that probably around January, if he's doing WrestleMania this year, I think that you will most likely see him around January to start building up interest in whoever he's going to face. I think the most likely opponent is still The Undertaker. But I guess we'll see.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Brian.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. That was easy. Mike,
yeah,
what
really,
do you...
all kind of depends on his physical condition. And, you know, if you can't do Sting and The Undertaker, Sting and Bray Wyatt actually is not too bad. I think you could build that up quite well with the promos and everything.
I think if they do Sting, it's going to be against who they consider, like, one of their living legends.
Iconic stars. Yeah, and that would be
John
Cena,
Randy Orton. Actually, that's kind of the extent of the list right now. Who else is a current living legend in this company?
Well, I don't. You could bring, if Rock is going to do something.
The Rock, you could do, yeah.
And especially in San Francisco. I mean, I don't think that would be. In fact, that would actually be a great idea if you can't do anything else. I mean, that is a true icon versus icon thing. And, you know, and Sting, you know, Rock obviously should not go as hard as he did last time around because he ended up getting himself hurt and putting movie roles at risk when that happened. But, you know, Sting can still go a little bit for his age. And, you know, with those two guys, much like The Undertaker and Sting, if it's going to be them, all they really have to do is just stand there and look at each other and people will be happy.
Well, listen, in terms of, like, financial revenue, the gate, the pay-per-view, blah, 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 Rock has headlined the two biggest WrestleManias of all time with John Cena. And Rock had made the statement that I'm not going to come back unless it's for a gigantic match. You know, a match that is going to make some sort of history. And the key to me is they were going to do The Rock against Brock Lesnar. And after The Rock ended up getting hurt in both John Cena matches, one of which put his career in jeopardy, And granted, you know, John Cena is not a really physical pro wrestler. But you know who is? Brock. And if I were The Rock and I got beat up, not beat up, but I got injured in my two matches with John Cena, the idea that I'm going to go in there with this giant beast who, no matter how much he tries to protect you, this is such a scary, strong dude, and he's going to throw you all over the land, you're guaranteed to take at least one F5. I mean, the chances are you're probably going to get hurt in this match if you've been hurt in your last two matches with John Cena. Now, a match with Sting is going to be all about the guys. It is going to be about The Rock, and it's going to be about Sting. You don't need to go in there and tear the house down. You do anything, the place is going to go absolutely crazy. And maybe Rock can say to himself, you know what? This is not going to be financially the biggest gate of all time. Maybe it will be, actually, because the ticket prices are ridiculous this year. But one way or the other, what I will tell you about this year's WrestleMania is that it will be the most watched WrestleMania probably of all time, due to the availability for $9.99 on the WWE Network. What that number will be, I don't know, but I would expect, I think the record is like 1.21 million buys. I would guess between traditional pay-per-view, if it's still available, which it probably will be, and all of the people watching on the network supposedly for $9.99, it is probably going to break that record. And maybe The Rock against Sting breaking the record for viewership at a WrestleMania in a very, very lucrative show, mind you. These ticket prices, like I mentioned, are sky high. Maybe that's enough for Rock to come back and do that match. I think it's a great idea for a match.
I'd like to see, you know, are they going to do Texas Stadium for 2016's WrestleMania?
Well, it's funny you mention that, because this is right around the time that we start hearing about ideas for 2016.
I have the best idea.
What's your idea?
My idea, and of course you're going to have to prop him up with a stick by that point, but The Undertaker and Steve Austin at WrestleMania, what would that be now, 32?
Yeah.
And basically they go out there and, you know, with Austin's neck and everything else, but I mean, give them 2 years to get ready for this. Let them do as much as they possibly can, because it'll be, again, all about the ring entrances, just the fact that they would be there in there against each other. And because you can induct The Undertaker to the Hall of Fame that weekend would not be the worst idea in the world. But as they're out there, just one by one, older wrestlers from the past, even, you know, up and including Bruno Sammartino, just kind of walk out. And at the end, whatever happens, and then they all walk back up, and that would signify the end, really, of that era, the Attitude Era as well, of, because Steve Austin never technically retired. The Undertaker has never technically retired. Obviously, the streak is broken. But can you imagine something like that and them going out of there? Because you're going to want to try to break the attendance record there, because you can fit 100,000 people inside that building. And I can't think of a better way to do it. And looking kind of towards the future with what they have going on right now and how they've booked things and done their business, I don't see how they could come close to getting that many people in there and make it really, you know, count for something.
You know, the only problem with your idea, and I don't even know if this is the case or not, but I wonder if you build something as like, this is the end of the era. This is the end. One era is gone, and now it's time to move on to a new era. I wonder if a moment like that would cause a lot of older fans who grew up in that era to decide, well, I'm done. I am done. Just like when WCW was purchased by WWF, and Vince McMahon and Shane McMahon and the whole deal on that final Nitro. And the next thing you know, Nitro is done for. And those fans, they were done. It was an end of an era, and they were done. And they've never come back, and they are never going to come back. And I wonder if maybe that would be kind of a mistake. Instead of doing like an end of the era sort of deal, maybe you do something where you're never really ending an era, but you're always trying to move somebody into the new era. Or for example, like instead of doing like Undertaker Steve Austin, and when it's over, this era is over with, maybe do something like where Undertaker faces a young guy, Steve Austin faces I don't know who. I don't think Daniel Bryan's going to hurt Steve Austin, but somebody like that. And more like, you know, the torch is passing. You're still going to see these guys here and there, but the torch is passing to the new generation. Maybe that's better than an official end of the era type scenario.
Yeah, but at least they've marketed towards those people. I mean, we used to, when we were little kids in 1984, Vince McMahon brought, you know, wrestling from the smoke-filled halls and made it like a reputable thing with sports entertainment. Well, now, if you look at the WWE Network, basically the history for them is now started in the Attitude Era, and at least they've played to those people, and they've built kind of everything around that time and after, where those people that are out there that never came back, I mean, WWE is not even thinking about trying to get those people back, where at least this is all built in. And frankly, when it looks, when you look at what they have going on right now, it's not really any change of an era, because probably the next night on Raw, Randy Orton will be facing John Cena.
Dear God, please no. I'm done with this.
Barrett and somebody, or again, Wade Barrett, Sheamus, and Cesaro. There are three incredible, unfortunate wastes.
Well, when we come back from the break, we got a couple of minutes here. Actually, we don't. There's the music. When we come back, it is time to talk about Survivor Series. Survivor Series 2014 is coming up next Sunday. We'll have our preview show, obviously, but hey, we'll kick it off a week early like they always try and do on Raw. So that's coming up after the break. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And I am looking at a GIF right now, an animated GIF of Stephen Bonner at the Bellator show last night, feigning a heart attack as they're reading the announcement. He cannot believe that they gave this win to Tito Ortiz, even though I don't know how many in the right mind gave it to Bonner, quite frankly. Wasn't much of a fight, but I thought that Tito handily won the fight. And here's Bonner, the deal is being read, and he's looking at the sky, and his arms are outstretched, and now he clutches his heart, and he leans forward, and then he falls face down to the canvas like he's dead. What a clown.
Such a dingbat. Well,
he made the whole thing into a joke. No wonder Tito threw that water at him.
I wish he would have done more of a Fred Sanford style, where he just went with the one hand on the chest, the other arm outstretched, and just kind of stumbled around.
He sort of did. There's only his right hand is on his chest.
Now, who does a better, like, pratfall, face-first fall, him or Greg the Hammer Valentine, who always, to me, always had a great one?
Greg's was better, but Stefan's is more dramatic.
Oh, Stefan. Oh, Tito. Maybe Tito can fight Greg the Hammer Valentine next. Maybe Tito can fight Brock Lesnar next.
Hey, there are people already discussing, is Bellator going to make a play, since they have all of the financial power of Viacom behind them? Are they going to make a play for Brock Lesnar when his WWE contract expires? Try and scoop him up from UFC. Fascinating topic, but we'll get to that in a moment.
Let me just throw this out. I mean, is the first match you immediately make Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley just to do it? If you're going to do something like that?
Well, stand by. Let's take this call, then we'll discuss this. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Drew out of Daytona.
And Drew, what's up?
Well, I have a question for you. Now, I know you want to talk about Survivor Series, and on that end, I just want to say I'm thrilled that even though there's no championship match, we're finally getting a main event that's a traditional Survivor Series main event, where you just have two staples of wrestlers, each one having legit reason to despise the other one, and all the warring fighters in the ring at the same time, and I think it could all be very entertaining. I mean, this is one of the best main events I've seen in a while for Survivor Series, in my opinion.
Well,
and now, my question for you. Raw is doing the kind of ratings that Nitro was doing back in its dying day. Now, which do you see happening first? Do you see some other organization being able to come up and finally compete with the WWE, or do you actually see wrestling as a whole just taking a nosedive and just becoming kind of a even more of a cultish thing that's kind of become like, do you think it'll ever return to the glory days, the Attitude Monday Night Wars era?
Well, first off, I want to thank you very much for the call. We're going to get somebody else here on the line on hold, but a couple of things. First off, the Raw ratings today in the viewership is actually much better than Nitro in the dying days. If I recall, Nitro was in the 2-1, 2-2 era, or sorry, not era, but range. And viewership was a couple million people, but certainly less than WWE. I mean, as I've noted many times, when you hear 4 million viewers, that is an average over 3 hours. There are usually around 7 or 8 million people who tune into Raw for at least a period every Monday night. So there's still a lot of people watching Raw. And the bigger issue is, in terms of comparisons to Nitro, there isn't a show on another channel that is at the level or approaching the level where they could take on WWE. I mean, we were just talking, and we'll talk more about it in a second, this UFC Bellator battle and the idea that maybe instead of UFC getting Brock Lesnar after he's done with WWE, maybe Bellator could sign him up. And it's interesting, the reason that Bellator is suddenly have a foothold here in this business is because they are owned by a multimedia conglomerate that has millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to pump into it. And when we look at what competition is WWE, that is, what do they have? What competition is owned by a media conglomerate pumping money in? There isn't one. The closest is Ring of Honor, which is owned by Sinclair. And Sinclair is not in the business of trying to compete with WWE. They're looking for cheap programming that they can put on that does good numbers, which is exactly what Ring of Honor is. Now, when TNA was having its problems, you know, if they had done better numbers on Spike TV, if instead of doing 1.1 million viewers, if they were doing 2 million viewers every week, and by the way, we can talk for years about why they didn't, but let's just say that they had done 2 million viewers, maybe they would not be on their way to Destination America, for example. Maybe it would have been a situation where Viacom said, man, these are some good numbers. Why don't we buy TNA and we will run them as an organization and we'll see how big we can make this thing. And if that would have happened, if Viacom would have bought TNA and decided that they were going to put the kind of money into TNA that they're going to be putting into Bellator, then yeah, maybe we would have had another Monday Night War. Maybe we would have eventually built up to something like we saw in the 90s. But until something like that happens, and I don't see anything like that anywhere in the near future. I mean, I don't think there's no Monday Night War coming. There is no boom period coming with head-to-head competition. It's just going to be WWE continuing to continue on, as they have been doing for a while. Any thoughts on this, Mike?
No, I think you said it all right there. You know, the one thing you can never do, though, is say never. The 50s, we had that boom in the, you know, people said, you know, could it get any better than that? And obviously wrestling was huge on a territorial basis all throughout the 60s, especially into the 70s. And that kind of culminated into the cable era where we got that huge boom of the Hogan era. And could it get any better than this? And then it did with the Attitude Era and WCW and WWE going at each other. And I'm sure there will be another era. It's just how long does that era take to kind of get here? Although, again, if you're that's looking at it from a fan's point of view, if you look at it from a business point of view, again, things have changed so much that, you know, who's to say that, you know, what's actually going to really spark the next era?
All right, let's jump to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
What's up, Brian and Mike? This is Chris from Nacogdoches, Texas.
Chris, what's up?
Oh, just got back into town, actually, back from San Antonio in the Ring of Honor show last night.
There's so it was West Texas, okay.
Mike was just asking about that.
I was going to say, how shameful Ed calls in, mumbling and trying to follow up Jen from Virginia, talking about women's wrestling, when he could have been talking about a Ring of Honor show taking place in his hometown.
Yes, and Ed was not there.
His close personal friends were all there, and he wasn't there. It's shameful.
It is. Although, I understand he has family commitments, so he gets a pass.
Sure.
But there was big news last night.
What was
the end of the news streak?
I heard that happen. I didn't hear the details, but I heard that the news streak has been broken. What happened?
Well, Moose, and I believe his name was Ramon.
Yes, Ramon.
They turned. And Carl started the streak, and Veda Scott was quite distraught. at all the shenanigans. So it looks like maybe they may be feuding. That Ramon character is going by a different name, apparently.
I hope he goes by the name of Stokely Hathaway, because that is, I believe the name he will hopefully use. It's the other name he used before Ramon, and I always thought Ramon was an insulting name for this man. Hathaway is great.
And I believe that is the name. He cut a promo, there's a YouTube promo, kind of a recap of the show last night, and I believe that was the name he used. But the other big news is there's a new stipulation for the main event, the final battle, which is now a fight without honor, which I guess is, what, a street fight or no DQ or something along those lines.
Are you the same Chris, by the way, that that sent this into the front page of the Observer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
that's funny because I was reading it when you called, and then you filled it in. So tell everybody, you have now witnessed two legendary streaks end.
Two streaks, and they couldn't be any more opposite in crowd reaction.
That's right. He was at Mania.
Yes. I was at Mania, and you could have heard a pin drop, as you know. You were there, too. And the new streak wasn't like that at all. Actually, ACH was, I guess, kind of a hometown boy. Not ACH. He was a hometown boy, but Artie Evans. I guess he's from Austin or somewhere around the area. So...
I still think Artie Evans is a big Texan.
Yes. And anyway, he had a lot of support there. But there's a lot of people rooting for Jay Lethal, so it wasn't a lot of people were upset. A lot of people were as distraught as Veda Scott was. But there are a lot of people that were excited about it and were happy. So I don't know. I'm not really sure if it's going to air on TV or not because they had the angle setting up the final battle main event and the end of the streak. And I don't know if it was a TV taping or what, but of course it was filmed, but, you know, so be on VOD.
I'm sure they'll air this on television with the storyline they've aired on television. Was anyone crying that the new streak had ended?
No crying.
RD was?
No crying. Well, yes. RD, he was a little bit distraught.
Thank God Ed wasn't there. He'd have been crying too.
Yes. Yeah,
you'd be crying for Veda.
It was a good match, though. It was really good. There was a lot of good matches on the whole show. Not anything really bad on any of the show. So.
Well, actually, stand by here. We got to head to a break, but I'll hold you over the break. Stand by, everybody. Back in a moment. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, for the latest news and info in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. You can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. We have daily news updates. We've got radio shows, tons of radio shows. If you love this program and you only hear it once a week, you are missing out. We do shows every single solitary day, usually two a day. I will be back later on tonight with Vinny. We're going to be talking all sorts of topics, including reviewing SmackDown, Ring of Honor. What else is there? Lucha Underground and NXT. All four of those shows will be reviewed tonight. And as soon as we're done with that show, it goes into the archive. Our archive of 6,000 audio shows dating back to 2005. Every show we've ever done is available in our archives right now. So if you have a long commute, if you listen to stuff during the day when you work out or at work, you will never run out of both new and classic audio on pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We have a free radio stream up at TuneIn Radio. If you search F4W Live, Wrestling Observer, anything like that, you can check it out. It also streams through the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Absolutely free. Our latest free audio shows play 24/7 on a loop. So if you want a free sample, head up to WrestlingObserver.com after the show and check it out. And hey, if you like monsters and you like weird topics, we've got another stream at AfterDarkRadioShow.com, also available on TuneIn Radio, but you can check it out at AfterDarkRadioShow.com. Strange shows playing 24/7 there as well, so check that out. If you like the audio that you're listening to right now, I guarantee you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com, so head up there and check it out. And we are back here. We've got Chris on the line. Chris, more review of last night's Ring of Honor show.
Oh yeah, it was just a really good show. To Adam Cole and Christopher Daniels, great match they had. The main event was really good too. Of course, ACH was kind of the hometown boy, so The crowd was really for him, but nobody was necessarily against the, Jay Briscoe. He had a lot of supporters like me there. Yeah, it was really good. And then I did the angle afterwards to set up the what will be the fight without honor for the title at Final Battle. And it was a good show all the way around.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call and all of the information there, and also the information that you are a curse. Listen, everybody, if you've got a streak, make sure Chris does not show up at your event, because that'll be the end of it. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is John from Arkansas.
John, what's up?
Oh, not much. Catching the show a little late, but I'll go back and also catch the opener. I love my Observer membership. It's the one thing that in the past 2 years for my birthday, I constantly keep re-upping it each year. You can count me as a 100% satisfied customer.
Well, thank you. And tell everybody, by the way, that I did not pay you for that.
And yes, Brian did not pay me for that.
And you got to get somebody else to pay for that for your birthday every
year.
That's
right. Why are you buying your own birthday present? Get a buddy to buy it for you for your birthday.
And then you buy another one so we can have even more.
Actually, I do have a family member that buys it for me every year. So
there we go.
Good.
Much better.
Yes. I had to say, I'm really excited about this Jeff Jarrett thing. I just hope that he can get himself a TV deal. I mean, the deal with Jim Ross, this is definitely moving in the right direction. And I just kind of wonder if WWE recently, you know, what with Vince's meltdown at the UK taping thing, I wonder if they're starting to slightly second-guess some of their recent decisions management-wise. Might be a good idea to rethink some of these practices and how not to alienate your fan base moving forward.
You know what's interesting about this Jeff Jarrett deal is, if you've been following the story with TNA, they have had a heck of a time trying to get a new television deal after what happened with Spike TV. And Jeff Jarrett does not have a television deal right now. And one of the issues he's running into is he doesn't even have a reel. Like, he can't go to people and go, here is the Global Force Wrestling television product. What do you think about picking up? He has no pilot. He has no nothing. And so he's already one step behind TNA and Impact. Now, Impact has got kind of a negative reputation in a lot of circles because they've had some rough years. They've had some terrible programming. Not really their fans are loyal, but in general, they don't have the best reputation in terms of decisions they have made and such. And I think that there are people in the television industry that are well aware of that. And I think that Jarrett is doing something very smart by co-promoting this Tokyo Dome show. He's going to co-promote and put this thing on pay-per-view. And can you imagine what that reel looks like when you go to a television partner and you go, listen, we promoted this event right here. This is our production. These are the videos that we did leading up to. We had Jim Ross, the voice of WWE, is our main announcer here. I mean, that is a big-time thing to bring to potential network partners. And I think he's making a smart decision, and I think that at the end of the day, he probably will get a television deal. I just don't know where and what it will mean.
It's one of those things, looking at it from a fan perspective, you're just sitting there going, man, if they hit right, this is going to be an explosion for him. And, you know, I often really enjoy the way that Japanese companies do that co-promotion thing. I think it's a smarter thing for business sense to work with one another instead of trying to constantly be at each other's throat. You know, it helps you, it helps them, everybody wins in the end.
Mike, as a resident Japanese expert, any opinion on any of this?
I'd like to think I'd like to think positive, but you know, there's a really good chance all of this doesn't mean anything. And you know, Vince McMahon's not shaking in his boots over Jim Ross doing New Japan or New Japan debuting in the United States. Now, if it gets some bizarre buy rate, then sure, it's going to send some ripples. But as big of a New Japan supporter and fan as I am, in the grand scheme of things, I don't know how much this is really going to mean. It's going to be great for us New Japan fans and for longtime wrestling fans. Is this going to be the revolution that starts to turn the tide? I don't think it will be. You know, Jarrett's got the ability to try to pull that off, and Brian's right. I mean, he is doing the right thing as far as he's making these agreements everywhere, which he can ask for film from these companies and go around when it comes time. Now, when that's said and done, though, you know, it's going to depending on who they partner up with to see how this whole thing is going to be, because for all these guys that people are going to want to see, who's going to be paying for the visas, who's going to be paying for the travel, where is this money all going to come from? A lot of it's going to have to come from wherever they partner up with, or whoever they partner up with from the TV point of view. And again, how is it going to look like El Rey? Is it going to be a small studio? How's this whole thing going to work? And it's going to take a long time. So I'd like to think positive. We need more options. You know, I wish Sinclair would pour more money and resources and just a little bit of attention to Ring of Honor to change some things just on the aesthetic level, let alone how they actually do some other things, because the wrestling end of it is pretty good, and the storytelling part of it is pretty good, but they put no push behind it, you know, for anything other than being cheap programming. TNA is what it is right now, and we'll see what happens with Destination America. But again, if guys are going to be under contract working for TNA, how many are going to be available for Global Force? And there's way too much up in the air right now for anything to be figured out for a long, long time, whether announcements are made or not.
That's true. I'm just hoping that, against all hope, that something great does happen. I mean, it's something we as wrestling fans can only hope that some sort of upside turn will happen out of this.
Well, let me say something. I want to thank you very much for the call. One thing that everybody needs to consider is that every year, for those of you that are subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, I might add, every year I do a special prediction show come the end of December, early January, and I have everybody call in and give me their predictions for 2015 or 2014 or whatever the year might be. And then I go back and I read the predictions from the previous year. And the idea of the game is that you got to kind of go out on a limb. You got to make like a prediction that's not, I predict that WWE will survive 2015. It's not much of a prediction. I mean, unless something...
John Cena will still be employed by WWE.
That's right. John Cena will still be a top star. These do not count. You got to kind of go out on a limb a little bit. You got to kind of, a believable prediction, but not something that's obvious. And the point of this is, we get great predictions every year. Some of them very positive, some of them very negative. And then I go back and I read them, and it's like, none of these came true, because you never know what's going to happen in a year. I mean, when we get to the end of 2014 and we look back at what people were thinking at the beginning of the year, you never know. I don't know what's going to happen in 2015. I cannot close the door on, I don't know, maybe Viacom will buy Global Force and they'll decide that they want to be a Global Force and they'll put all this money into it. Who knows? Anything can happen. But I think that don't be down on wrestling. You shouldn't be too high on it either. But be neutral. You never know what's going to happen, and maybe it'll be great.
The glass can be half full.
That's right. Or all the way
full
in my life.
Like any of this stuff, even though, do I think it'll have an effect right away? No, but you know what? It's never too early to start or late to start. Whatever the saying, however the saying goes, if you plant the seeds early enough, it'll pay off in less time.
All right, to the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, it's Chris from Las Vegas.
What's up, Chris?
So I actually was listening to the Live Audio Wrestling, one of their podcasts, and they were talking about, and you guys mentioned it too, the other side of the Survivor Series match, and there's no other stipulation. What if they actually did something where, you know, John Cena, since the authority would no longer be authority if they won, then John Cena takes over and he has his team. Therefore, you take him out of the ring. He doesn't have to wrestle as much. And he can start saying, hey, this is my new group of guys. And he can start building from there.
Well, I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Cena's dudes with attitudes.
I don't think that's ever going to happen too, but I thought that was a great idea when I...
Well, it's a great idea if your idea is you want to get John Cena out of there for a while. But the problem is, like, They're not going to get John Cena out of there for a while. My idea, which is it involves Cena, is Cena should have something on the line. And to me, what can be on the line is your shot against Brock Lesnar. I don't think that they should do Brock Lesnar versus John Cena 3. Because you've already beaten John Cena twice. What, you're going to beat him a third time? We're going to see that match a third time? You don't know how many matches Brock Lesnar has left. How about maybe now that, you know, when Randy Orton comes back, whatever you think of Randy Orton, he's going to come back and he's going to be a hot babyface for a while. So why don't you do Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton at the Royal Rumble? And to do that, all you do is you say that John Cena's title is on, his title shot's on the line. If Team Authority wins the match, John Cena doesn't get his championship match. And on top of that, you can have a guy like Dolph Ziggler turn on John Cena to cost him his championship match, and you've got a ready-made feud for John Cena that's not your main event program. There's so many different ways to set it up if you put that stipulation on there. And why they don't have a stipulation on the other side is I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me.
I figure McMahon's up to something, but I guess we'll find out.
Well, we may have a stipulation tomorrow. Maybe Grumpy Cat will take over Raw.
Oh God! Oh that's
my
right.
God!
Grumpy Cat hosts Raw.
Yeah.
I am grumpy about Grumpy Cat.
Listen, Chris, we got to head to a break. I want to thank you so much for the call.
Jason Kidd will be happy.
That's right, Grumpy
Teddy
Cat.
Teddy Hart's tuning in.
Grumpy Cat is hosting Raw tomorrow, everybody. Yeah, Tiggy's tuning in as well. We'll talk about this more after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Michael P. Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, I don't know if you noticed on my Twitter lately, but I have posted a photograph of the wolf, my cat, who I am teaching to, first, he's got to be able to walk on his hind legs. And once I get that, I'm going to teach him how to run the ropes better than half of the girls in WWE. That's my goal. But he's going to be watching intently tomorrow on Raw when the Grumpy Cat headlines the go-home show.
Yeah, I saw that picture of Wolf walking around on his hind legs there. Now, are you going to incorporate any Teddy Hart-style cat whispering to make this happen? Or are you just hoping that Grumpy Cat comes out tomorrow and they have some sort of telepathic connection?
Well, cats don't like to watch television. I don't think they get it. But I do. I will say that sometimes when birds are on television or other cats, it will capture their attention for a period of time. So I guess we'll, you know, what's funny is the other day, don't even ask me why, but I was listening to NPR on an app on my phone, through the phone speakers. And every now and then they do a story and they've got the ambient noise and there were these birds chirping and boy, my cats were going nuts. So there were birds loose somewhere in the room. But yes, everybody, we got to wrap it up. But tomorrow it is Grumpy Cat. He is going to be hosting Raw, not making this up. So that is tomorrow. Don't forget to check out WrestlingObserver.com, everybody. The stream up there. We got a lot of classic shows available at WrestlingObserver.com. The latest free show streaming live on the app, as well as AfterDarkRadioShow.com. I'll be back next week with Mike at a brand new show. Thanks, Mike, as always, all the folks at Sports Byline USA. Scott and everybody there. Darren, we'll talk to you next week. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.